over there.
I'll get you a drink.
Yeah, I'll have a Stella and a cigar. Stella's off, isn't it, John?
I'll have a look in the cellar, see what I can dredge up. Oh, by the way, your brother's Ash Ryan, isn't he?
Yeah, why?
No reason.
Have you heard where he is? Well, tell us.
Not me. Oh, and yes, the Stella is off, I'm afraid. Could I interest you in a little glue instead, sir?
What a mushty. I stopped listening, and the one with the moustache started doing all that malarkey with the tapes they do at the beginning of your interview. But I wasn't really in the room. Telling all that stuff to Donna had got right inside me. All these pictures kept swimming up, and I wanted to know why that one had mentioned Ash. But no way would they tell me what that was about till they were ready.
Do you know why you're here?
Lukey, innit?
Luke Jolly. He was murdered on the 18th of July. He was a friend of yours, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Were you with him the night he died? Can you answer the question, please?
No comment.
We have a witness who says you and Luke were very good friends. Is that true?
No comment.
Let's go back a while. When did you meet Luke?
No comment. He wasn't so bad, this one. He thought he was a nuts, but most of them do. I didn't mind telling him some stuff. It wasn't that I was trying to impress him, because I wasn't. But there was something about him. I wanted him to know I'd tried.
I met Lukey when I was down in Southampton. I had a little fracas at the last care home. I didn't have anywhere to stay, so I ended up back over there. At least I knew all the places to sleep.
Go on.
Been outside for a few weeks, and I was getting sick of it. I got myself a job in a hairdresser's. I sleep where I could, go and get a wash in McDonald's, then go and sweep hair up all day. But I couldn't get my clothes clean. And in the end, they said I was putting off the customers. Right in mind, it was boring.
The money must have been nice.
I never got any. They sacked me the day before I got paid. Said I should go to the police if I had any problem with that. So I went back that night with this kiddie I met down the park.
That was Luke?
Yeah. He had some cider, so we got well out of it and kicked the window in. Old Bill turned up like they was just round the corner, so we ran and ran. We ended up jumping off this bridge into the canal. We got away, though. You lot don't like getting yourselves wet, do ya? It was in a YMCA, so we went back up there and dried off. We had some more cider, and after that, we was mates.
How long ago was that?
A year, maybe? We stuck together, me and him, though. Look, we sparked off each other.
To the extent that you stole cars together?
I don't think so.
Oh, I do. You and Luke had a good scheme going on for a while. You weren't just stealing to joyride. You picked top-end models. Take them down the docks. Sell them on. You must have made a couple of thousand a go. Not bad for kids.
Well, that wasn't me. We never did that.
To be honest, it knocked me a little that he knew all about this. But it wasn't like he said. Most of the cars we got into had immobilisers, so we got nowhere. And the one time we did get this Toyota Jeep thing moving, the guy took it off us for 500 quid.
We have information that with the proceeds from the car sales, you bought into the local drug scene.
You what?
You were associated with a man called David McCauley.
Dunno. Not really. I knew who he was, but I never bought into nothing.
How could we have bought into anything worth having with 500 quid? I did most of it on some nights and a jacket.
I'll tell you what happened, mister. Me and Lukey used to go and drink cider together. We see all these gangs about and think about getting some work off them. Every time we went to try and get in with them, they shut the door.
They didn't trust you.
Wrong colour, innit? But then they started picking on us because we were white boys. So we had to join something, as we were going to get killed. So we found this other gang who looked after us, and the black kids left us alone after
this. This was the group that called themselves the KK28, wasn't it? How did you get that name?
It wasn't because we liked spelling, I'll say that. We just used to chill and have a laugh.
Yeah, well, apart from the times we used to get on the trains, all 12 of us hitting one carriage after another. It didn't always go good, though. Once you're in a gang, doesn't mean you're safe. Me and Luke's problem was that we got on too well with David. He was older, maybe 30, and he told us what to do. I didn't mind that, and he liked me and Lukey. There was this one bloke called Mental. He had a big, heavy face on him, like his dog just died. And he hated me and Luke because we got special treatment. Luke used to wind him up.
Oi, what's happened to my brother?
No comment.
You what?
You heard. I want all the names of the members of KK28. I want to know everything you lot got up to, from scratching your backsides to mugging old ladies.
I'm not grassing. And what's all this about Ash? Where is he?
I coming. Why did the battles with the other gangs start up?
They didn't like us going down their streets, so we didn't like them going down ours.
It could have been about territory, but it looks to me more like you divided up along race lines. You were coming off worse.
We managed all right.
In fact, we heard that a couple of your lads got scared and tried to leave, but Davy wouldn't let them.
He thought we were stronger if we stuck together, and we were.
So that night down in that car park, when two members of your gang both ended up in A&E with broken arms, was you lot sticking together?
No comment.
Come on. That doesn't work. Just how violent is Macaulay?
He likes you to be loyal. But he wouldn't kill anyone. He liked Luke.
But mental. Nah, he hated Luke. The more Luke got in with David, the more Luke got out with mental.
Well, something's happened to Ash. Wait, what is it? Who hurt him? Tell me.
It's obvious you haven't been in touch with Ash for a while now, or you'd know.
Please.
He got arrested for armed robbery just 2 nights ago up at Gatwick Airport. He and some other chumps were trying to turn over a bonded warehouse.
No, he didn't.
You know his mate, Declan? He was the one who put us on to what was going on. You're in here dodging questions on a murder. Ash is looking at 10 years. What a family. Do you want another can of pop?
Nah. Well, our family's all right.
Sure it is. Look, I know you're not a murderer. All I want to know is what happened.
He'd done it. The Ponce with the Blomastosh had gutted me wide open. I wasn't worried about KK-28 anymore. I wanted to get out of there so I could crawl into a corner and cry. I gave it all up, there and then. I told him all about how David Macaulay fancied himself, how he got organised to buy a share in a truckload of coke coming in from Turkey, how David put up the cash, and how a sackload of the stuff went missing from wherever he put it. It was one of us who'd taken it, had to be. So then it all kicked off. David went round us, one by one, pointing the finger. Hurting people, and he loved it. Lukey got scared. He said he was going to do a runner.
You were with him the night they found him?
Yeah. I wanted to talk to him, to tell him if he was getting out, he'd better get out, right out, like to Scotland or something. But they followed me.
What happened?
They tied him up, kicked him around. And they did it.
They did it.
I'm not stupid.
Come on.
I mean it. I've got nothing else to say.
Okay. You can go. For now.
Hey? Is that it?
I'll get Sergeant Marlowe to take you out. I'll be in touch. See you soon.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking. No way is this right. And it wasn't. Didn't take a minute, really.
The DCI's asked me to have a word with you.
Oh, okay. What about?
He wants to sort this out.
Well, I'm not stopping him.
Oh, but you are, you see. And this one's really got to him.
Yeah, for real. Like he cares about a chav like Luke.
Look, what he cares about, lad, is getting a result. And he has been known to be flexible.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Ash. He was only a lookout on that robbery. He wasn't carrying. He didn't hurt anyone. He never even went into the warehouse.
So?
So he's hardly Ronnie Cray, is he? Hmm? And the way he looks in court depends on which evidence we choose to give to the CPS.
But you look can't make any deals with me. You're not allowed to.
Oh, are you sure about that?
Yeah. I am.
Your call? You reckon Ash fancies 10 years in Manchester?
I was thinking about the gang and what they'd do to me if they heard I grassed them up. But I kept thinking about Ash and me and him playing snowballs when we first arrived at the first care home. It wasn't that hard in the end.
Who killed him, Lexi?
Are you going to look after us?
We'll see what happens.
Mental did it.
I want my family back. We've heard episode 4 of Lengsy Gets a Break. We're joined live by DCI Taylor, who was kind of the star of today's episode of the drama. DCI Taylor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
It's time for you to get some questioning of your own now, if that's all right with you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to start with a question from me first. You're not actually legally allowed to do deals like this, DCI Taylor, like what we've just heard, are you?
I'd have to say that deals are not common. I'd be very surprised if they were common in our force. Basically, all of the transcripts of that particular interview will be made available through the courts.
Right. So we understand they're not common, but are they actually allowed?
I would think that if there was any officer of mine that was involved with such deal making, then we would come down very hard on them.
But are they actually allowed?
Well, we have such a thing as plea bargaining. some of you may have heard of that, and sort of past convictions are taken into consideration as well. So that when we reach a point of making a conviction, and we are very, very cautious at making safe convictions, after all, for something that is the ultimate crime of murder, then all of these things are taken into consideration.
Yeah, seems to me like what we heard was totally illegal, but anyway, let's see what my guests in the studio want to ask you. DCI Taylor is there. You've got the measure of him now, I'm sure. What do you want to say to him from what you've heard in the drama this morning, guys?
Just a quick question. Under the PACE, Police and Criminal Evidence Act, isn't it a thing, though, if you're interviewing a minor under 18, he has to have an adult present?
Yes, well, there was an adult present in the room. There was another PC. But also, I believe that Legsy himself had been offered assistance and had actually refused a solicitor to be in the room.
When you suggested to Legsy, or got your underling sergeant to suggest to Legsy that if he gave you the information you wanted, you look after his brother, you were lying, weren't you?
It is a case that Legsy's brother Ash did receive a sentence.
12 years in prison for armed robbery.
Yes, it was an extended sentence, but at the end of the day, we had to look at the greater good.
Right, so you lied to Legsy to get the information you wanted. You promised you'd look after his brother and you didn't.
Well, his brother was already in a position of having been in prison, so we knew that he was there.
Right, so you lied to Legsy in order to get the information you wanted, and you promised to look after his brother and then didn't. What do you make of all this, Mary? I mean, you know, to be fair, DCI Taylor's, what he's trying to achieve here is to get a conviction in a murder trial.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to go to any lengths to do that?
For the ultimate end. I think I'm very grateful to think that the only knowledge I have of sort of police and courts and everything else is from sort of Dixon of Drott Green down to sort of Judge Deed. So it's all television stuff. And I would have thought that doing deals would have been really something that was run, you know, something acceptable, because it's for the greater good, getting, you know, the bigger fish, as it were. See, look, that's me watching, talking television stuff. But it's you know, there's a bigger story here besides these, and really these people are just little minnows, aren't they? They're little tiny things, and there's obviously a bigger nasty character around that they're being influenced by. So, you know,
so you think it's okay?
I think it's okay, personally.
I think it's okay. Does anyone on the panel disagree with Mary?
And yes.
That what you just heard is actually just morally wrong?
Yes, I disagree. I think it is morally wrong. I think they've lost sight of the fact that Legsy is a human being. He's somebody who's been let down, lied to, and not had a good time from anybody for the whole of his life. And now even the people that he should be able to respect, the police, are now doing exactly that thing. They're lying to him, they're manipulating him, manipulating his vulnerability, and completely losing sight of the fact that he is a human being.
DCI Taylor?
I just wanted to say, Sue, and you know, I do appreciate where you're coming from, but at the end of the day, our responsibility is to the victim in all of these cases. I'm starting a new operation on Monday. I can't go into detail, but at the end of the day, I know that you and the general public would want me to get a result, and moreover, the right result.
Mm. But at what cost? You're sacrificing Legsy and his brother. Yes, I can see the greater good, I can see the bigger picture, but Legsy and his brother could go on to become those that bigger picture, the ones that, that do the bigger crimes at a later stage, if something isn't done for them and to help them to have some self-respect for themselves and some respect for other people.
I can't afford the luxury of, for want of a better word, being his social worker. I can't afford that luxury. I have to get the result. At the end of the day, I think that often these young men are working through the system. They learn ultimately how to work the system, and I have to deal with what's in front of me.
Tony Stokes, you work at Reading Prison. You work with, you know, guys who've gone the wrong way after this kind of encounter with the police. What's your take on all of this?
If anything, I feel for little Legsy in a sense that here he is now. He's in a vulnerable situation. That the police, understandably, because obviously they need to get a conviction, but then to, in essence, lie to him to say they can help his brother. And his whole self-esteem and his whole belief now will be totally negative towards the police. And in what I do and what we do in the prison, in the sense that we actually get the guys where their self-esteem is rock bottom, we pick them up, turn them around, and hopefully let them get released from prison, never to come back in. I mean, we've got a situation here with a young lad who, in essence, has been failed, or he deems himself to be failed by the welfare system and everything else.
Is this kind of thing common? I mean, do you hear stories from at Reading Prison of this sort of encounter with the police having happened?
Yes, you do.
You do.
I mean, the problem you have is when you listen to the guys and you hear this, you've got to remember it's a polarised point of view.
Sure.
It is their only point of view. You're not hearing a balanced argument from the police and everyone else. But then on the other side of things, I mean, unfortunately, I deal with a lot of people who feel that crime is an occupational hazard. The whole family network are inside, so their time inside is purely simply an occupational hazard, and it's like a revolving door.
Okay. If this is a bit of police work that you're proud of, DCI Taylor, if you think this is, you know, good, legitimate policing in the cause of the greater good, as you and Mary have been saying, why did this conversation have to take place in the corridor, off the record, away from the tape recorder?
Well, as I said earlier, I think that it's extremely rare for an instance like that to occur, and if any of my officers were found to be having that kind of conversation, then we would crack down hard on them.
Not according to Tony Stokes, who works with these prisoners all the time, but anyway, we have to agree to differ about that. Why in the corridor, why off the record, if you're perfectly happy that this is a bit of police work you're proud of?
Well, we want to make safe convictions. I mean, believe me when I say that, you know, we're ultimately looking to make that conviction. We're very, very aware, we take great care to get all the facts in front of us before making that conviction.
Right, but I just ask you a third time, why, if it's something you're proud of, if it's a legitimate bit of policing, does it have to take place off the record in the corridor rather than in the interview room where your words and Legsy's words are all written down?
Well, I appreciate what you're saying there, and I think that, as I said, this is a very rare instance for something like that to occur. I would be quite shocked, and I'm shocked to have witnessed that. So we will make sure that we discipline the relevant officer.
Here's another thought. I'll see this question. Do you think that with carrots being dangled in front of Legsy, like, we'll let your brother off, your brother won't go to jail for a long time, that Legsy would have pretty much said anything in order to win the prize, effectively?
Yes, I absolutely do believe that, and I have seen it with my own children, who, as I say, they weren't young children when they came to us. The oldest two were both 10 when they came to us, so they've had quite a history.
Mm-hmm.
And if they think that they can get something, they will say pretty much anything to
get. So DCI Taylor's saying it's all about getting a safe conviction, about sending the right person to jail for murder. But actually, is this an effective way of doing that? Because Legsy would have given him any evidence he wants, which enables him to put someone down for it, but might be the wrong person. Mary?
It'd have to be the right person. Like, they know who they're aiming for, I think.
Trust the police to kind of know they've got the right person?
They know who it is, but they need somebody to actually point the finger. They need somebody to say who it is. And at the end of the day, there's a family here who've lost a member. And there is victims here beyond the person that died, lost his life. There's also a family there that have lost a family member, and they shouldn't be forgotten, and just all sympathy riding on Legsy's side.
So, yes,
you know, to stay to the conviction, we are far too soft in this country. We are far too soft. We dish out very, very minimal sentences for some very major crimes. And if people really learn to think that they're going to go away for a pretty long time, they'd maybe think twice before they did it.
You thought of joining the police force?
I just get on a soapbox and...
With a bit Mary Flavelle will be welcome around your police station, DCI Taylor, wouldn't
she? Very much so. She can be my right-hand woman, right-hand person.
I've decided prison ships is the answer. If you can't build prisons, get prison ships going.
I can't comment on that.
But so, could I go on, DCI Taylor.
It is very important to focus again on the victim. But I would just say that Lexi would have been offered some sort of witness protection program scheme. Additionally, we did have, as Mary said, very, very strong on the ground information about the perpetrator of the crime, of the murder. So we basically needed the key to unlock the box, really.
Right.
We were close to the conviction.
You're nodding, Tony Stokes. You think that's all right?
Well, I can understand where he's coming from. What it is, it's the final piece in a jigsaw, isn't it? And all he wants is just their name to be clarified. I mean, obviously, in a court, I mean, one of the things in my long service is I used to do a lot of Crown Courts, and what they basically do is it's not just the evidence of one person isn't sufficient to create a conviction. It has to be the all the other bits and pieces, the forensic evidence and everything else. And like Mary was saying, quite rightly, you've got to feel of the victim. But then yes, you have the victim of the murder and everything else, but then you've also got this young Lexi who, in essence, is turning into the life of a recidivism on crime. Mm-hmm. And where we do in the prison now is we try and turn them round to make sure that, if they come in once, hopefully never come back in again.
DCI Taylor, what a pleasure to talk to you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good to have you on. That's DCI Taylor with us.